week we get to have the kids in here with us singing and participating in worship. That was really neat. Not every day I get to be up front and listen and watch their little faces. And you should have seen the offering being taken up here. They looked at the buckets and the bags and turned them, and some stuck their hands inside of them going, "Whoo, hello." At least none of them put them on their head like Lester did when he first saw them. Yeah, I saw that too, Lester. Oh, it is such a joy to be here. Last week, Dusty opened up the sermon series, Survivor, as we're leading up towards Vacation Bible School. That's the theme. But you know, I have to be honest, it created a problem for me. Because I kept thinking, I'm preaching the second sermon of this series. And it is a VBS sermon, but we do have the first service. And I, well, maybe I could. No, I don't know. And I wrestled with what I should do. And I chose ladder. I was going to go ahead and dig up my Hawaiian shirt, my Bermuda shorts, and my flip-flops. Yeah. Dan Coy offered his flip-flops and his Hawaiian shirt to me. But he wears it like he's serious. Where's So I that's all right, Dan. It looks good on you, buddy. I did look for it. I don't know where that Hawaiian shirt is. It was ugly anyway. Dan's is nice looking. Yeah, very nice. I wouldn't wear it personally, but it's nice. But anyways, we're in this sermon series. And VBS is just one of those times of year that is so much fun. I really enjoy it. I'm always glad when it's over too. But it's always a great week with the kids here and the excitement, the joy. So there's probably some room for you to help out with VBS. Just a little commercial for them because I just love it so much. But Dusty assigned me the topic. It's titled Share, and he also gave me the scriptures that I'm supposed to use. And at first reading, the first text he gave me, I thought, that's simple. It's easy. It's not a very complex thought. I might be able to handle it. And it's simply found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Very simple text. At least that's what I thought until you start reading it and you start studying it and realize that it's a complex thought. It says that we're going to have a total and utter reliance on God for what we need each and every day. And we're not going to worry about what tomorrow brings. We're not going to go looking for what else we have to worry about. How good are you at focusing on the here and now, the moment, today? Is there anybody that's really gifted and skilled at focusing on just today? Okay, I had one hand come up first service. Yeah, a couple of the kids, I don't know. When I was that age, I didn't worry about nothing either. But, you know, I look at my life now, and you know, this is the first Sunday I've not had my phone on my hip. I don't like to bring it up here because it will go off and it will distract me. Even if you have it on silent mode, it vibrates. I'm one of those people, I go, I wonder who that is. I wonder who that message is. Is that my alarm? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing besides this? And I want to look. Is there anybody else that is ran by a schedule, a calendar? Yeah, hands are raising. Some of you are lying to me because you're going, I'm not telling him that. I know you. You guys have calendars at home, and you have his calendar, her calendar, and a family calendar. I do everything on my PDA, and it tells me, I think, everything I'm supposed to do. If it's not on there, chances are I will not be doing it. We live, and I'm always thinking about what's next. And we're doing this today. We're at church. We're going to have church now, but I know next. I have 20-some guys going to meet at NASCAR to go go-karting. I got to be there early. I got to worry about, okay, I got to eat. Oh, I got to take Jacob with me. He has to eat. What am I going to wear? And my mind always thinks about what is next. There's a scripture that in my studies that made it kind of difficult. This sermon has not been fun to prepare or plan. It says in Matthew 6, moving on down from the text, we're at 24. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. are you not much more valuable than they are? Then you jump on down to the 34th verse. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, and each day has enough problems of its own. That wasn't fun for me to read because I'm always thinking about what's next. So we could be ready, we'd be prepared. I had to learn a few things. That if I'm relying upon God and He's a source of everything that I need, then why worry about what's next? He's in charge. He's sitting on a throne. He's going to take care of everything. And my thoughts, my worries, my preparedness or planning will not change what He has in mind to do. And that wasn't fun. Because, see, we like to think if we have it on the calendar, it will happen. We're going to make it happen. Things will, we can control it, but it doesn't happen that way. And this creates a problem for us. We have a difficulty. See, because we have to start differentiating between what we want to happen and what needs to happen. We have to start differentiating between what we need in our life versus what we want in our life. And we're not good at that. So I went to the computer and I thought, you know, I'm going to look it up. What is the definition of want? It's real simple. It says, a want is something that is desired. I thought, well, okay, that it's a desire. It's something that we want, and they go back and forth. So what is it? Then they added this next line in there for me, and it really made more sense. It says, it is said that people have unlimited wants, but limited resources. Thus, people cannot have everything they want. I didn't like that. And we begin to struggle with that. Because even in that realm of wants and desires, we're told in the scriptures that we are in a midst of a battle inside our own lives and our own spiritualities. There's a side of us that is a spiritual nature, the nature that wants to obey God. And there's the other side of us that is the human nature, the natural person, and we want to fulfill all the desires of our hearts. And the battle begins to rage with inside of us. Scripture tells us that in Romans chapter 1, it says, therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual immorality and impurity, for the that word got me again. It's one of those words. You ever look at a word and you just can't, you know what it is. You look at it and you go, I know what it is, but you can't say it. It's that word. It did it to me first service also. Degrading. There it is. Sexual morality, the degrading of their bodies with one another. It's a section in Romans that goes through and says we are men without excuse, that we should know who God is. But all the things that we desire, the sinful natures that we start doing, and it starts degrading, I'm going to practice that word, degrading ourselves and destroying our bodies and taking us away from God. If you read the first six chapters of the book of Romans, you'll see the entire thing is talking about the battle that happens, again, in the human nature and what we desire, that we desire a lot of things that are very bad for us. Any of you have that problem? You want something that you know you shouldn't have? McDonald's is kind of that way. You know, you should go eat salad and grilled chicken or something, and you go and need a couple Big Macs. You wash it down with a fish sandwich because fish is good for you. But we start battling over this, and we start wanting what the body wants. We start desiring things that we know are not beneficial for us at all. You go on down and it says, therefore, in Romans 6:12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you will obey the evil desires. Don't do it. Don't give in to sinful nature because you have a spiritual nature that is of God. One that he says, you know, Jesus Christ himself is inside of you as your Lord and your Savior. He is inside you. He's going to empower you to overcome some of those desires so that you will start making better choices. Galatians 5 kind of touches on that. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, with it the passions and the desires. The passions and the desires that you have been crucified on the cross with Jesus Christ. So this battle that rages inside us, the victory is already won. We just have to submit to it. We have to make a decision to not fulfill the desires or the wants of the body. And I tell you, it happens from an early age. Yeah, look at Jacob. I'm going to pick on him a minute because I got myself earlier this year. Jacob came to me and said, Daddy, I need a new swimsuit. I need a suit. He desired a suit. Well, how much is it? Do you know how much swimsuits are for swimmers in the high school competition? I'm learning. He said, Daddy, there's a full body suit that is only $75. $75. So I'm an intelligent father. I said, son, I know what strokes you're swimming, and I'm not sure a full body suit's what you need. You need to go research what the best suit is for what you're going to do. Thinking if it's less material, it's going to be less dollars. So he came back and said, Dad, I did the study. I know exactly what I need. I just need the leggings. Waist down. They're a certain kind. They're fast skin. Okay. How much is that? $125. Okay. But you ask, why do you need it when all the other people are getting it? And don't we do that? You know, it's just not kids. I mean, here's a test. How many of you have a car that's no more than 5 years old? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, in your car, do you have an AM, FM radio? Cassette player? No. CD player? Does it plug into the MP3? You can't plug MP3 player into it. Do you have air conditioning? Do you have power windows, power locks? Anybody have an auto starter? Not in here. Oh, we got one. First service, we had several had auto starters. Okay, cars to get from point A to point B. It takes an engine and four tires, transmission to get you there. All the extras are luxuries, aren't they? Why did you get them? It made the car more expensive. Because you wanted them. It doesn't make the car run better if you can turn the radio up louder. Does it? Oh, see, now I got you guys thinking. We buy things out of want, not always out of need. Because we want them. How many of you did this and getting that car? Did you go, oh, I like the car, but it's the wrong color? See, some of you are caught there, didn't you? The color does nothing for how the car runs or drives, but it's a want. That's what a want is. It's a desire to fulfill what we want. It makes us feel good. It may make us happy, but it's still a want. The scripture says, give us this day our daily bread. It's for what we need. What is need? A need's real simple. A need is something that is necessary for humans to live a healthy life. Does a paint on the car help you live a healthy life? Although the needs can be objective and physical, such as food and water, or they can be subjective and psychological, such as the need for self-esteem. One of the things I learn about people as you watch them, you study them, and why they choose to be in a church or not to be in a church, or why they choose this church and not another church, is because the desire to fit in, to belong to be accepted at for who you are and welcomed in. Have you ever been to a place where you walked into a party or a church or whatever, an event, and you saw everybody standing right there before you, and you're over here by yourself kind of going, and you try to figure out how to get in, and the group still stands there and has it all molded, and you can't get in? What happens? You walk away, you feel rejected, you never want to come back again. Doesn't that happen to you? Have you ever experienced that? Yeah. Why? Because you have a desire to belong, to fit in. You need to be a part of it. We have to be accepted. And we understand we need food, we need water, just not as much food sometimes that we, but to exist. But see, I tell you, we have a greater need. Our greater need is real simple. What would be the greatest need that you could come up with? Air? That, you need air. Without it, you will die. But Jesus. And that Brian says, and he smiles. That's a little Bible school answer. But in reality, the greatest need we have is the saving blood of Jesus Christ. We need to have that personal relationship, the intimate relationship where we know he is our Lord. He has died for our sins. He's forgiven us of our sins. We've been baptized into him. He now dwells inside of us. That is the absolute greatest need we have. See, now what's interesting is we mistake that for human comforts. And in a little bit, I'm going to get into where we'll have the prayer list. But I will share one, because we do this all the time. Todd Shaw called me this week, and his dad has been running a race, fighting a fight. And the doctors have said, nothing more we can do. He's going to cross the finish line soon. His life will come to an end. And we pray and we desire, oh God, and we look the whole list, please heal everybody. Please make everybody better. They need to live. They need to live, but they need to live with Jesus. And this life that we have here is a mere mist, according to Scripture, and that we're going to pass from here to the next, and that's where we're trying to get. So why do we pray, God, make their life longer, make their race longer? Why don't we pray, God, our ultimate desire is for you to call us all home to be with you when you have the appointed time for us to be there. See, the reason we don't want that to happen is because there's people that we want to hang around with. We want to talk with them. We want to share life with them. We want to experience life with them. But God ultimately knows when it's time for us to come home. We don't know when that is. It could be today for some of us. It don't have to be through a disease. I've taught the Koinonia class for about 6.5 years. January, I switched to a different Sunday school class. The Koinonia class is our oldest group of people here. And it's difficult. Dwight teaches, and I'm really glad that he has moved the chairs, because there's something I could not do. Because I would stand there each week when I would teach, and I would look, and I'd say, there's where Marge Bortline sat, and there's where Joyce Willis sat, and there's where Lois Mankers, and over here is where, and I will look, and I will know where everybody sat, even though they have gone home to be with the Lord, and I will look every week, and I'll miss them, because they are great, faithful people to the Lord. But you know what? As much as I miss them, they were tremendous examples. Some of them battled difficult diseases. Lois Manker, I think it was about 6 months, she went up and down before God called her home. It's tough. It hurts. But we have to understand that when we are inside Christ, our wants and needs do shift. Christ did not promise us an easy life, a disease-free life, a life of plenty. Actually, we're told in Scripture that our lives will be difficult. It will be hard. And so looking at the biblical examples that we look at, such as Paul, and he was shipwrecked, and he was beaten with a rod, and he was stoned. You look at some of the Old Testament prophets. We talk about Jonah. He spent 3 days in the belly of a large fish. I don't think that was pleasant, and although food might have been plentiful. Yeah, but, God doesn't promise us everything's going to be rosy. So when we're inside Christ, we have to balance this want and this need and understand there is a difference. And God himself, it says in Scripture in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I understand that it's according to his glorious riches, not yours. So if there's something that you don't have, you might not really need it. And that's tough to hear. Because see, we like to have everything we want. I have remembered making some comments that I probably now regret. One I remember earlier, I said, if I really want it, I would just go out and buy it. You know, everybody has plastic, don't you? And make not so good decisions and you swipe them and then you go, whew, now I got to go pay for something that I couldn't afford to have in the first place. Make some bad decisions. Share one that really hit me in the head just a few weeks ago as I was playing this. It was very humbling to myself. See, we went to Florida on a vacation. Sunny Florida, the sunshine state. 25 inches of rain later, it poured every single day. And I walk in this gas station to get a few snacks as we were trying to drive south to get out of the rain. We were hoping, because according to radar, there was a window down there. And I'm just frustrated because it just poured the entire way. And I walk in and I make, I just wish it would stop raining. Lady behind the counter says, oh no. She says, we could smell the smoke from the fires approaching our business. We need it to rain to stop the fire. Okay. You know, what do you say to that? I want sunshine. I mean, I wanted to, you know, boom, come out and lay out and play some golf. And she wants her business not to burn down and the houses around her business not to burn down. Yeah, I think she trumped me. She had a real need. I just had a want. What's irritating for me is the first thing I thought of, I got to go preach a sermon over this and it stinks. You know, it's... But I wanted sunshine. I mean, when you go on vacation, that's what you're supposed to have. But you're not promised it. We're not promised tomorrow. We might want it. That's what we're supposed to focus on, the here and now. Give us today our daily bread. We make life way too complicated, folks. We worry about things that we have no control over and that we won't be able to change. Let's kind of narrow our view back a little bit and understand the difference between wants and needs. There's another text that Dusty gave me that we want to go ahead and look into. It's in John, in the 6th chapter, starting at the first verse through the 11th verse. It's real simple. It's a story that many of you know. Jesus is out preaching and proclaiming the gospel message, and all of a sudden, all these people start showing up, and it says a large crowd gathered. I like Jesus, by the way, because he leans over to one and goes, man, all these people are here and we're teaching all day. How are we going to feed them? Guy panics. Oh, no. That's going to cost us 8 months' salary to feed them all. I'm going, man, this sounds like me. I'm going to calculate how much it costs to get it done. Then how are we going to do it? You step back and realize, hold it, if there's 5,000 men, that's usually what they count, plus the children and the women, that's a bunch of people on those hillsides that they have to feed. And what I know is there's not a Wonder Bakery there that's going to have loaves on the shelf to give everybody bread. They would make the bread they need for that day, and they make enough for their family for that day, so you're not going to go out and buy 20,000 loaves of bread to feed everybody. It's just not going to happen. So they bring this little boy up. The little boy was smart. He packed his lunch. That has a good mother. I don't know. He had a couple fish in there, had some bread in there. And he walks up. Well, we got this. All right, Jesus says. And then this awesome miracle takes place. take these fish and take this bread. And he first throws the bread up and prays over it. And he says, okay, let's break it up and divide it amongst everybody. And same with the fish. He lifts up, prays over it, and he gives thanks for it. And he says, let's take out and feed everybody. And then when it's all said and done, everybody ate until they were full. And there was baskets of leftovers. Of course, I'm still trying to figure out what you do with leftover fish with no refrigeration. Those little things kind of get me every now and then. And everybody was fed, and a tremendous miracle happened. Because this little boy was there with a couple fish and some bread. And you step back. See, Jesus was aware what the need was, and he figured out how to meet the need. He met the need through a little boy. He was willing. He was available. Let's look at this. God will meet the needs of others through you. The miracle that took place that day happened because of a little boy packed his lunch. Here's what I know. That needs will be met of others through us when we least expect it. I don't think that little boy says, I'm going to pack my lunch because I think Jesus needs it today. He didn't have a plan. He packed his lunch because he knew he was going to be hungry. His mother sent him off, said, boy, go out and make sure when you come back, you have your lunch. Go play all day. Don't come back until the cows come home, something like that. And he went out for the day. He wasn't expecting to be used by God that day. You're not being expected to be used by God, are you? You're going to get up, go to work, get kids ready, going to go do what you do all day. You're not going, well, God, I think today's the day you're going to use me to do something cool. You're going to create a massive miracle through me today. It's going to happen when God determines it's going to happen. But you do have to be available to it. Because I'm wondering what went through that little boy's mind. You want to do what? This is my lunch. I can't help it. You all didn't pack. But he was available. He was there. He says, God's going to use you when you are available. When the time arises and you go, okay, God, I can do it. I can do what you're asking of me. See, our problem is a need comes up and God goes, hey, I need you. And you go, just a minute. Let me check my calendar. Hey, in 3 weeks from tomorrow at 4, I might be able to squeeze you in. God says, I need you now. But I can't. My schedule says I have to be over. God says, I need you now. You need to be available. And we come up with 100 reasons why we cannot do things for God. And they're all excuses. It's real simple. If God's calling you to do something, he needs you to do something. He don't need you later. He needs you then. Are you available? This week was kind of crazy. I did a week of vacation. I came back. I was here last Sunday. Then I took off, went to Wyoming, and was back Wednesday. Knew when I was preaching today. Wanted to stay in the office. Wanted to do my thing. Karen calls me and says, hey, I can't be in work on Friday morning. A friend of mine is having surgery. Y'all know her, Gretchen. She's on our prayer list. Thought she had blood clots in her heart. Ended up being a tumor in her heart. They did open heart surgery Friday morning to remove it. So I'm not going to come to work. One of our jokes in the office is, fine, you're fired. Because she gets fired every week at least once. And she went to the hospital. She was available to a need. And I'm stuck answering the telephone. Hello? Hello? And I'm going, I really wish Karen was here. No, I'm not. She's where she needed to be. She was available. Knowing that a miracle will happen when you're willing to be used by God. See, if you're available, here I am, I could do something. Oh, you want me to do that? I don't know. You want me to give up my fish and my bread? So you could do what? Defeat everybody? I don't understand. A child can't comprehend how five pieces of bread and two fish are going to feed everybody. He just knows that he's going to have to give his up so that everybody else can have what they need. That don't work. But he was willing to give up what he had to share with other people. A lot of people want to look at sharing or giving as like, okay, this is a sermon where you're going to talk, okay, reach deep in your pocket, pull all your money, put it in the plate because God's going to provide for you tomorrow. And so give me everything today so we can do great work here. No. See, the greatest need is already established that people need Jesus. And God's going to put people in your life to make you available so that you would have to give them him. See, their greatest need is Jesus. You will have the opportunities presented before you. It may be a coworker, it may be a friend, it may be the girl checking you out at the store, you know, your groceries or whatever, not that kind. Yeah, how do you recover from that? You may have the opportunity to share Jesus many places. When you least expect it, are you going to be available and are you willing to do it? God has given you what you need. Those of you who have accepted Christ, he says, okay, I'm going to not only come inside you, I'm going to robe yourself in me. I'm going to wrap you up and you're going to have everything you need. Are you willing to do it? There may be other areas where you're going to be challenged to do something. VBS is coming up. Are you willing to share in VBS? To take your evenings after you're tired and worked all day or dealt with your children all day and you have to come and take care of somebody else's kids, are you willing to do that so that they can be introduced to Jesus? Are you willing to serve in Sunday school or come to Sunday school to bring your family there? Are you willing to serve? Every week our grass is cut. I know who's doing it on a couple times, but you know what? I bet you they would love some more help because there's two families that do it. They alternate weeks. And then if we had four families doing it, that would give those two families a break. They love doing it. They make it look great, but they would love more help. Now look at the building here. Some of you guys have talents and skills that are tremendous in construction and maintenance. Some of you ladies are great painters. Some of you guys are great painters. I'm none of that. I do it, and I'm not good at it, and I get more paint on me. And I can almost drive a nail now. I'm practicing. The guys on the mission trip can verify. I'm horrible at that. I have no hand-eye coordination. Depth perception gone. Are you willing, though, to get involved? You know, I look up here, and the folks, Jason, a couple years ago, he wouldn't even thought about playing a guitar in front of people, let alone leading. And I could go on and on and look at all the different people that play and serve God in that way. See, are you available and are you willing to serve God, to share what God has given you in talents and resources with others so that people will know who Jesus is? Real simple. You have what he needs. See, now, some of you may not have Christ. You don't know who Jesus Christ is. You've heard about him. You hear about him talked about, but you've not learned enough to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's where you start. We have a group of elders here that know how to tell you about it. We have a group of staff, you know, Dawn, Jason, Dusty, who knows how to tell you about Jesus. We have regular old people. I can stand here. First service, Dave Schreiber sat just by where Lisa's at. Well, Lisa could tell you about Jesus, too. She does it. She teaches a women's group. They could tell you about Jesus. We have people that are willing to share what they know so you can know Jesus. See, we come to the end of a service and we call it decision time, invitation. We invite people to make a decision. And here's what's cool. See, many of you who already know Jesus, you have the opportunity to make a decision. Are you willing to share what you know about Jesus with others? You will make a decision. The decision will be yes. The decision will be no. And here's how I'm going to know what your decision is. Because in about 3 weeks, I was standing there and go, you know, I don't see anybody new. I recognize everybody here. So that means you all decided not to do it. It's real simple. It's not higher math. It's just, do I see anybody different? And if I start seeing different people here, it's because you said, I'm going to do it. I have decided to share what I have with somebody else. The little boy shared a couple fish, a couple pieces of bread. You have the greatest gift in the world to share with somebody. Are you willing to do it?